The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I did something this evening I never did before. Had a quick look at the clock before I came down. Because I never know how long I spend down here, so I'll know this evening. You probably know, unfortunately, but I don't. Just to begin with a little story, and it fits in nicely to Christmas. In a little kindergarten school, or the teacher in a primary school, for the first graders, she decided she'd have a little party for Jesus, a little birthday party. So she prepared all the children, and they had little cakes and lemonade and so on. And then they all sang "Happy Birthday to Jesus." And when one little girl came home, her mom asked her, "Well, how did the party go? Was it nice?" And she said, yes, Mom, it was nice. But a funny thing," she says. And Mom said, "What was that?" "Jesus never turned up." Well, for a lot of people, Jesus has never yet turned up. And maybe more surprising, there may be people here at Mass this evening for whom Jesus yet has never really turned up. You have never really let Jesus into your life. You can be a Catholic all your life, you've come to Mass every week, and yet never let Jesus really into your life. You always keep him at a distance, somewhere out there. I want to very briefly, and if I can do it concisely, and follow some kind of logical order. I want to compare the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew, which you've just been listening to this evening. In the Gospel of Luke, in the account of how Jesus came to be born, Mary was the heroine. In the Gospel of Matthew this evening, Joseph is the hero. Now, why do we say that? Well, Joseph, and also you got to realize the sequence. There's two things that I learned about the reading from the Gospel this evening, and I'll tell you in a moment. And there's a sequence. That's one of the things that I never saw before. I always thought that the angel appeared to Joseph first, and that helped him to make up his mind about Mary. And of course, that's wrong, because that's not what's in the Gospel. That's not the sequence. The first thing I learned is that Joseph was confronted with a major problem. Now, a bigger problem than most of us realize, because we're told in the Gospel that before Jesus was betrothed to Mary, so he was engaged, and that was almost tantamount to being married. So, and then he found out that before they came to live together, she was his future wife, that she was pregnant. He knew it wasn't by him. So now he was confronted with a major, major problem, because we're told in the Gospel he was an honorable man, he was a righteous man, he was an upright man, so he would have been very, very conscious of the law. And the law at that time, the time of Jesus, according to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, said a woman who was pregnant outside of marriage was to be, now listen to this, and I didn't really know this, was to be taken to the front door of her father's house and stoned to death outside the front door of her father's house, so that the honor of her father could be restored. What a way to restore one's honor. And a question, it begs the question, what about the man? Can you see how how unfair, and how what a terrible law that was? Now, I didn't realize that until I did a little bit of research on the Gospel. And number two, and this is the sequence, and it's very, very, very important. So now, Joseph had a major problem. He either had to obey the law, and therefore, the word I'm looking for, he had to either obey the law and therefore expose Mary and bring shame on Mary. Also, he was in the situation where his own reputation was at stake, because to be engaged to somebody and then discover that she is pregnant, well, that doesn't say very much about Joseph. So his own good name and his own reputation was also at stake. Now, what's he going to do? And here's the beautiful thing about Joseph, is he put Mary, he put his conscience before the law. Conscience always, hopefully I'm using the right word, but it always supersedes the law. And sometimes we have to do that. You know, you can't always just be totally legalistic or just follow the law. And so Joseph put Mary
and ignoring his own situation, not thinking of himself, but thinking more of Mary, he decided just to divorce her informally, to go away quietly and not say or do anything, and especially not to expose Mary, because he knew the consequences of that. So that'll give you an idea of what kind of person that he was. And it was afterwards that we're told in the scripture that he had a dream and an angel appeared to him and said, "Joseph, it's okay. It's all right. Take Mary home as your wife because she is pregnant by the Holy Spirit." Now, if you heard that, would you believe that? So, you're a load of doubters. So, no, you really wouldn't. So therefore, Joseph had to make a tremendous act of faith. And so that's very, very important. He had decided what to do before he had the dream. Now, I always thought, you know, that he had a dream, an angel appeared to him. What does that really mean in everyday language, a dream, an angel? In his deeper understanding of God, what he had decided to do, he felt was confirmed by God. So don't get all hooked up, you know, with an angel and a dream and some kind of a vision and so on. But deep down, in his gut level, in his really subconscious, he knew and felt he was doing the right thing. I'm sure you have gone through that yourself. I've gone through that many times when I make a decision for somebody. It's not strictly speaking in accordance with the law, but I make it because of the person in front of me. Also, now to finish off, because I think I'm doing pretty well, to finish off, what really does the gospel teach us today? And I think this is very important. Well, a number of things. In spite of Joseph's doubts about Mary, and he did have a lot of doubts about Mary, he could still see that in Mary, he could see a core of goodness. And in everybody, no matter how bad anybody is, there is good. Sometimes it's difficult to see that, but there always is. Secondly, he had to make a great act of faith, really deep down. The fact that he was not sure how Mary became pregnant, he felt there's something extraordinary going on here. Put it in again to everyday language. You don't first see a miracle and then believe. You believe first and then you see a miracle. Put it another way, miracles happen, but a lot of people who don't have faith will not, even if they see a miracle, will not really believe in that. They will somehow or other explain it away. They'll find some explanation for that in order not to believe. Now, here's where, for a few moments, I have to be very personal, because I can only speak for myself. When you really have a deep faith in God, now not just in the head, but in the heart, when you really, really have that faith, you can actually see miracles. Miracles happen every day of the week. They are the way God operates. I've seen many, many miracles, miracles of grace. You know, where people totally change, transform their lives. Miracles, real miracles of healing. Real miracles of healing. But you can only see them through, like Joseph, the eyes of faith. The eyes of faith. And when we look at the world today, whenever you look at the news today, when you're sitting in your living room and you look at the news, how awful it is. You see the terrible things happening in the world. And people often ask, I'm sure you've been asked, and I've certainly been asked many, many times, how can you believe in a God who allows things like this to happen? Where is God? Well, God is in everything, and everything is in God. And a good expression that I often use for myself, we are like a horse wearing blinkers. We don't see the whole picture. We never do. But that's where your faith comes in and your trust comes in. And that faith is what gives you the strength and the courage to carry on. To carry on and to see ultimately all will be well. So you never, faith automatically leads on to hope. It automatically leads on to hope. So you never lose that foundational trust in God. Because God has given us free will. He took a great risk when he gave us free will. But we couldn't love him if we didn't have free will. And so a lot of things that happen in the world are the abuse of free will, not the use of free will. But that faith, like Joseph, it gave him the courage to carry on, to accept Mary, and to love her and her son with all his heart.